My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. I am following you, Jesus, in this third Sunday of Advent. In the first two, we see how you moved us up to inclined plane towards holiness, step by step. In the first Sunday, the invitation was to come and to receive some gifts from you that you have prepared from eternity, and it's so exciting to think about it. It's so intriguing and mysterious and wonderful to think that a God that is almighty has been thinking about me. It's just mind-blowing. During the second Sunday, you told us to go to the desert, to create some space of quietness around us, not that we go physically to any desert, but the invitation was to listen to you, right? And then we examine ourselves a little bit after the invitation to receive some gifts and then to encounter you personally. We understood in that Sunday that our dialogue with you is not just as a church, as a community, but is me with you. And it helps me a lot. And in this third Sunday of Advent, getting closer to the day of Christmas, the invitation is on an interior journey, which to me are the best ones. In every book, in every movie, in every story, at the end, what happens is interior journeys, what gets you your attention, and it's beautiful. And in this interior journey, there is a question that comes, and it is, who are you? Who am I? And this is a very difficult question to answer. Who am I? What's my identity? What's the reason of my existence? Many big questions that have to do with not only my personality, my now existing in the world in this actual moment of history, but what's my identity? Saint Jose Maria, in his meditation on Christian vocation in the book Christ is Passing By, which is a meditation about Advent, puts this question very similarly. And then the answer says, well, the first thing that we need to cultivate is our interior life. My interior life. In order to understand my identity, the reason of my existence, I need to go inside myself and meet you there and then look at myself. Not in a vain way, like in a mirror, in the gym, so to speak, or something like that, but just in front of you. Saint John the Baptist was asked the same question, and then he immediately said, I am not the light, but came to testify to the light, which is very interesting. In my vocation, and again, Advent is a journey to discover my vocation, to discover you, my Lord, walking by my side, calling me to happiness. This is my vocation, basically. Saint John the Baptist says, when he was asked, I'm not the light, but I came to testify about the light, which is really, really important, because in both realities, we have the answer. In one side, I am not the light of the world. Jesus Christ is, and that's why I'm following you. But on the other side, it's not that I'm completely empty. I'm reflecting that light. I came to testify about this light. So I think today in my meditation, I want to consider the importance of my mission as an apostle in order to make a lot of friends, in order to have a lot of friends. Why? Because I'm engaging, because I'm a genius now, because I'm reflecting your light. So that's why I like to compare friendship or our mission to the mission of the moon. I'm not an expert in astrology, but I think the moon, all things considered, is pretty ugly. It's just a rock, right? A satellite around Earth without trees, without any vegetation, I think, with some holes, pretty dark. But man, when it reflects the sun at night, it is majestic. It is really beautiful. And we don't see the craters or or we don't pay attention to any of the deficiencies of the moon. It is just a great lamp in the sky with the stars, with different shapes, and it's reflecting such a powerful light that it looks beautiful. So that's my mission. My friendship with you, my encounter with you, going to the desert, gets me illuminated by a light that is not mine, but it's still beautiful. And I need to be aware of it because it's part of my mission. It's a very important part. The first part is my conversion, my dialogue with you. No question about it. But at the same time, I'm called to be light for others. We don't have pictures nor videos of St. John the Baptist, but we have his words. And I think we can fill the gaps of what we don't have with our imagination. And when he was answering, "I'm not the light," I don't know you, but I imagine St. John the Baptist with a big smile, saying, "I'm not the light, but let me talk to you about the light. Let me talk to you about who's coming, because I know him. And I need to talk to you." So in other words, St. John the Baptist was talking about his friend, his really close friend Jesus, to others. And he was so happy in doing that. Now, he was giving us an example of how deep friendship can be. And maybe today I want to examine myself in your presence, Jesus, always with peace, about my friendships. In the Book of Wisdom, thousands of years ago, and I really like the Bible, on other books like classics, like the Odyssey or other books that are classics, because it shows you how human beings, in a way, speak the same language throughout history. It doesn't really matter. We think that sometimes the modern man has all the answers, and that you look back into history and then you see that we are the same, right? And it's wonderful to see that, to connect with people that lived thousands of years ago and have all of them have the same dreams, the same fears, virtues, defects. It's great. It's really awesome. It's very inspiring. And the Book of Wisdom says that the faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. It's a rock. He or she that has found one has found a treasure. There is nothing so precious as a faithful friend. It is so true. A faithful friend is a rock, is a sturdy shelter. I want to have a lot of friends like that, and I want to be that guy for my friends. I remember when I was in college, one of my best friends, we lived together in the same dorm. It was so funny, and he's one of the guys that influenced my vocation. I think one of the most influential ones, for me at least, to follow Jesus Christ. And he was so funny. I hope he's not listening to this meditation. But anyway, he's great. He was bald, like no hair, in his 20s, which is super funny because he would make fun of that. He was kind of a Woody Allen. And I remember one morning, we were, you know, in the morning taking showers, shaving, whatever, in the dorm. And then he was getting out of the shower with a towel or whatever. And I was shaving with another friend in the same common bathroom. And I'm sorry about this example, but I think it shows something about friendship that is very important. And this guy was getting out, and then he was cleaning the shower, whatever, or something fell. And he was taking it from the ground, and then he fell awkwardly and dislocated his shoulder. And in front of me, in front of us. And then he was yelling, screaming in pain. And we were so close of friends that we were trying to help him, but he was so funny that we started laughing, and it was impossible to lift him up. And then he started yelling at us and insulting us with funny words. And it was the whole event until we get him into a taxi and rush him to the hospital was so funny. And I remember walking with him on campus, and people would stop us in a normal day because they wanted to talk to him. He was always welcoming. He was a sturdy shelter. And he was a treasure for us. And very cheerful. Precisely because he was so kind of funny in his way of doing things and very smart. He was a very good student. People were attracted. There was a light there. And he showed me the value of friendship. And it is true, my Lord, the value of just the unconditional friendship is so strong. And this is what John the Baptist is saying about his relationship with you. And he's reflecting it in a way that people are attracted to John Hey, who are you? We see some light here. And she says, no, I'm not the light. I'm reflecting him that will make you really, really happy, that has the power to make you happy. But I'm very happy too. So that goes hand by hand with the awareness of our nothingness, the joy of our friendship with Jesus Christ, and through him with others. Saint Jose Maria says, you understood the meaning of friendship when you began to feel that you were like a shepherd of a little flock. And you understood a little bit of that meaning if you see yourself as a shepherd. Not because you are bossy. Not because you have your agenda. That hurts friendship so much. When we go trying to convince people or we have an agenda. No. The real value of friendship is to care, to understand, to pray for, to be there, to be faithful, as the Book of Wisdom says, a faithful friend. Are you faithful? Am I faithful to my friends? Hopefully I am, but I want to go deeper in that faithfulness. I want to understand, like John the Baptist, that my mission has this beautiful dimension of reflecting something that is really saving people. Even if I am not wonderful in myself, or if I feel like the moon, kind of a rock floating around that's pretty ugly, I have something special, something eternal. There's this book, I think it's a classic in America. I'm from Spain originally, so I'm not sure, but I think it's very well known. The name of the book is The Five People You Meet in Heaven. I read it some years ago. The author is Mitch Albom. And there's a story, it's a fictional story about a guy that dies in the first chapter. So don't worry, I'm not spoiling the book. But he dies in an accident in an amusement park. And then he goes to the other side. He is basically dead. He doesn't know. He's kind of assimilating, digesting what happened. And then he goes through kind of a purgatory, a journey, a little bit like the Divine Comedy of Dante, short version, I guess. And then he meets five people. And the first one is sitting down on the other side. It's kind of the whole atmosphere is white and he's very confused. And then there's this guy sitting down behind a table and he interviews him a little bit. And then the protagonist asks, what am I doing here? What is this? And then the other guy shares the news, say, you're dead. And you died in this car accident or in this amusement park accident. And before you get to see God face to face, you will meet five people in heaven. And then this guy sitting down says, do you remember me? And the protagonist kind of stops and looks at him and says, oh yeah, I think your face is familiar to me. I'm not sure, but we met, right? Oh yeah. And I think I met you in the street that day or you were part of my neighborhood or whatever. And then I remember you, but we never talk, right? And the other guy says, well, actually, that's the whole point. You are going to meet five people that, with all due respect, but you despised. You had the opportunity to help them or to care about them. And it's not that you did anything wrong or attack them or hate them or anything, but you just didn't care. And you are going to meet them and talk to them and learn about their lives. And then you will appreciate how beautiful they were and they are now. And that's what you need to clean your heart before you see God, because God cares so much about them, about every single person, even people that you don't like or you didn't like when you were on earth, that in order to understand God's love, you need to go through this human experience of deep friendship. And then the book is great because he meets five different people and he talks to all of them and his heart is being transformed. It's been, you know, and it's not a transformation from just a mortal sin or some horrendous heresy or anything. It's not that he was burning churches or killing nuns or no, he was just indifferent. But that was separating him from God, at least from understanding God deeply. So again, we are in these Sundays going to receive a gift. God is Jesus Christ. I prepare something for you for Sunday, second Sunday. Come to me if you want to receive those gifts. Let's make some room. Let's create some space. And in this Sunday, who are you? Who are you? Not that we are asking Jesus, who are you? It's that he's asking us, who are you? And then you answer, I'm not the light, but I have the light. And maybe because of that, my life needs to be different. I have a sense of a mission. One of my sisters told me that during the summer, they were on vacation with her family, her husband, children, and they were in this resort in a place nearby the beach, I think. And one of the days they were walking around, I don't know, they went out for an ice cream or whatever. And maybe it was a little late at night. And then they saw someone, I think it was a woman, pretty, you know, poorly dressed and I think drunk, going through streets, yelling. Maybe it was a group of people. But I think there was one especially, you know, causing that, you know, pity of seeing someone that is losing her dignity in a way, right? And then my sister's family, her husband, the kids were walking too. And one of her sons approached her and said to her, an empty tabernacle. This is an empty tabernacle. And my sister said, well, what are you saying? And then the kid said, this is an empty tabernacle. Repeat it. Meaning he's a person that, and it was he's a young boy, so I don't know. I'm not saying that he was judging her. He was with pity looking at her saying, what a waste, right? You could be so happy with Jesus inside you, and you look so empty to me. Like, again, not judging, but just praying for her. You should be wearing or bearing Jesus in your attitude, in your personality. Right, in your life, you should be reflecting the same Jesus that I have. And with sorrow, he was saying this. And I think it's a beautiful way to look at around at the world. Every single human being, all my friends, Jesus, all my friends are tabernacles, are the dwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. And in this Advent, preparing myself to receive you in this world, I want to pray about them and about myself. You came, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, to be part of our destiny. And of course, we honor you in the churches, and we build beautiful ones and with tabernacles with, you know, the box for the Eucharist. It is so rich, sometimes, many times made out of gold and decorated with pearls or with diamonds. But at the same time, the place that you really want to be is inside me. That's your dwelling place. So you didn't come to this world to be in boxes, as beautiful as they may be. You came to be inside me. And I am a tabernacle. I am. This is my destiny. And every single human being. So in my interactions with people, do I see tabernacles? Do I see the potential of my friendship? Do I approach every relationship as an opportunity to reflect my light, or the light that I have received upon them, inviting them to follow you? Like St. John the Baptist, I am not the Christ, but he's coming, and I can talk to you about him, or I can introduce you to him. Actually, it is wonderful to me that St. John the Evangelist and St. Andrew both followed you, my Lord, because of St. John the Baptist. And it is great. The beloved apostle followed Jesus, and also Andrew, that later on introduced Peter to our Lord. The first pope was introduced by his brother. So you see how John the Baptist was talking about Jesus constantly and encouraging people to follow him. Like, he is the light. Even if I'm preaching to you or whatever, I'm talking about him actually. I want you to meet him. And they did it. Master, where do you live? Was the question that John the Evangelist and then Andrew asked our Lord. And then Jesus said, come and you will see. And when John the Evangelist was writing the gospel many years later, he remembered it was 4 in the afternoon. I remember the hour of the day that I met the person that changed my life. It's a memory that I will never forget. And it all happened because my friend told me about him. Told me about someone that was happiness in itself. That is so wonderful, my Lord. I wish I could, through my friendship, bring people to heaven, or encouraging people to meet you and to meet the or to discover the meaning of their lives. And there's this movie, Stand By Me. It's a classic from the 80s by Rob Reiner. It's about a bunch of friends. And it's funny because it's a real team. There's a, you know, the very smart guy, very quiet leader. There's a crazy guy with weapons. There's the chubby guy that is always with practical ideas. And there's the other guy that is kind of the friend of everybody. Strong, but smart, and anyway. And there's a moment in the movie is about friendship, basically. And it's wonderful, and it has a very good music as well, so it's a great movie. And they're, for 2 days, they're on a mission, so to speak, to find someone that has died in the forest and is adventurous, and they team up, and it's really funny and deep. And there's a moment that this quiet leader is going through a crisis because he feels that his dad is not loving him, or he thinks that way, and then he goes to his friend. They are walking on the rails of a train road at night, trying to get to the place, and then he says, they are reflecting there in silence, walking under the stars, and then he's behind the other group, and then they're together, the two of them, and then he says to him, "Am I weird?" And it is a very interesting question that a friend asks another friend, like, am I weird or what, right? Because I've been thinking about these things, whatever. And then the answer from his friend to me is a masterpiece, because he hesitates for a second, and then he says, "Yeah, but everybody's weird." And then they both laugh and keep walking, and you can feel how they are both relaxed and there's peace. Like, you're not perfect. It's not that you're weird, and if you're really weird and I'm your friend, I will tell you, right? But it's no big deal. I mean, you have some oddities like anybody else, but I don't care. We are friends. Of course, friendship at the end, if you have a friend, you got to help him or help her even in those things, and maybe point out to some maybe eccentric things that she has or he has, right? But the point is, regardless that, we're friends. There is a common ground here that is the foundation of our relationship. And you can trust me that even if you are, I will love you. That is powerful indeed. My Lord, help me to foster and to have those deep friendships. Because the closer I am to you, if I talk to you, if I follow you, if I receive your gifts, if you bring me to the desert in order to listen to your voice, I want to keep it inside me to bring it to others. And that's a wonderful dimension of my vocation, to be a friend of friends, to be sharing with others the friendship that I have received from you. Pope Paul VI said that in our world today, we need glowing witnesses who know how to break open the dark skies of the world, not with words, but with the witness of their lives, with our joy, with our friendship, a friendship that we learn from you, my Lord. So maybe today, in my time of prayer, I want to consider this, and maybe this week, to ask you to be a very good friend, to be a rock for others, to be a treasure for others. Again, not because I want to be vain or to have followers in Twitter or whatever, but to be a rock, a shelter for others. I wish I could be like John the Baptist, so friend of you that I naturally will reflect the beauty of your life in me. That's not vain. That's a dream. Let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to do things like she would do things. I don't know you, but I imagine both Mary and Joseph with a bunch of friends. Actually, if you read the Gospel, there's a scene that I think proves that they had a ton of friends, which is when they lost baby Jesus, young Jesus in the temple. I don't blame them, but I think they lost him, so to speak. I mean, he was behind because he wanted to stay. But anyway, they didn't realize because they were talking to friends. Obviously, they were so engaged with other conversations that for them, Jesus was left behind in a natural way, so to speak. And later on, we see how Mary went to a wedding and Jesus performed the first of his miracles at a wedding with wine at stake. So it was not even a blindness or a possession. It was just wine at a wedding feast, at a party, right? So we see how Mary, Joseph, Jesus had a ton of friends, good friends. Let's ask them to bring our relationships to the light of Jesus Christ, to your light, Jesus. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.